Well, here you are here in Houston and gathered here this morning on this most important day of the year. Twice last week in TV coverages, I heard today being referred to as the most important day of the year. Sometimes, at least with a qualifier, the most important day in sports, but twice I caught it as the most, outranking Thanksgiving and the 4th of July and a few other things. But you have to admit, I mean, it is a really big deal today, where tens of thousands of people are going to brave the freezing cold and snow and ice and sub-zero kickoff temperatures and all of this at $3,000 a head to do so, plus all their expenses coming and going. That's quite a tribute to the American sense of values that we have going here. I've often thought, really, we should, it's time for the church to accommodate itself to the world. We should just add Super Bowl Sunday to the calendar. And I had worked for a while on a liturgy for Super Bowl Sunday, which would lend itself to it when you think about it. You know, you could put up a pair of, say, crepe paper goalposts on the way into the chancel, which would do duty as the end zone, with the obvious analogy of arriving, scoring when you get to the altar rail. And, you could just keep going with that all the way. Cheerleader costumes on the choir, and that would be something to behold. And then maybe a quarterback uniform for the dean, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We could get into this. And, of course, everyone would say, oh, it's nice, it appeals to the young. And the really terrifying thought of this is that somewhere, someone is probably doing that even as we speak today. You never know what goes on. But here we are. And as they say, I digress. But the TV Bowl did just do some interesting coverages, one of which was this very nice man who drives a school bus somewhere. That is his livelihood, is driving the school bus, so he is not a wealthy guy. And all of his school bus kids and their families raised enough money to send him to the $3,000 a head ticket Super Bowl for the weekend, which is a great tribute to the man as an influence, in the kids' lives in the neighborhood. And on the camera, he was thanking them, and this is going to change my life. But he's looking for his life to be changed, which, by a teeny bit of a stretch, gets us around to say is gospel, because today is all about people coming to Jesus looking for someone to change their life. Last week we had the gospel, which began one day, a simple day, the first day in the life of Jesus' public ministry. He was baptized. We read about that earlier in this Epiphany season. We read about his calling of his first companions, Peter, Andrew, James, John. Last week we read about him teaching in the synagogue at the local market town, Capernaum, and people being surprised by his words because they were different. They were not the usual preachers, people like me. They were someone who spoke from within himself, not quoting things, not appealing to outside authorities, making his own presence felt there. And they were surprised by his words, and they were even more surprised when someone who had his own problems, the town regards him as possessed, speaks up out of the crowd, and the Christ heals him on the spot. And that brings us to today's gospel, where they leave the synagogue, they go home, Peter's mother-in-law is there sick, which would be a wonderful character for a churchy history novel sometime, being Simon Peter, the first pope's mother-in-law. You think about that. That could be really interesting. But there she is on her bed of sickness, apparently a grave sickness. And without any great solicitation or anything, and having never healed anybody apparently, he simply goes and reaches to her, stretches out his hand to touch her, and lifts her up. And she is well and goes about her usual chores. And by then the word from the synagogue has gotten out, and the whole town, in the evening is coming, is gathering at the doors. And it tells you a lot about the town, if the whole town can fit into, one street in front of one house. But there they all are, with the people in their lives that need something. They need someone to change their life. They're sick. They're troubled. There they all are. And Jesus heals many. And this becomes the theme in Mark for the rest of his journey up to Jerusalem. You know, Mark is wonderful as a writer. In John, where everything is very dignified, the signs of healing are signs. They signify. They are mysterious acts of power done deliberately to reveal who it is among people, to reveal the character and the nature of Christ. In Mark, it's all just spontaneous. This favorite word in the gospel is immediately Jesus does this and that. You know, they tell us that St. Mark was a traveling companion of the elderly St. Peter, and that before his death, Mark began to note down what Peter taught and how he remembered. And there is a firsthand immediacy to today's readings, that someone is walking with Jesus, going to that house, and here is my mother-in-law, and here are all these people, and going out and finding him in his prayers the next day, and hearing the summary at the end of it. I didn't come out to do this healing business. I came out to proclaim God in his kingdom. Let's go somewhere else, because that's what I came out to do. And this kind of struggle going on within Jesus between the work that people need day by day everywhere he's encountered them, of healing, of touching, of fixing, and the mission that he has been given by who he is to proclaim God's kingdom. And today, still, that's why his people, you all, are there, both to proclaim and to fix things, to help that kingdom come to be in the lives of people you know in your own life. And Jesus goes on. Remember that old Neil Diamond song from 1,000 years ago when I was young, which is 1,000 years ago? I'm looking for someone to change my life. I'm looking for a miracle in my life. He was looking for a new relationship then. But he struck a deeper note that probably every one of us gets up in the morning or goes to bed at night with a little thought of, I really would like to see something change in my life. Or maybe a favorite fantasy about how, if my youth would have been different, or if my decisions at this stage or that stage of my life would have been different, what would my life have been? What could it be now? And every one of us would join the chorus, I'm looking for someone to change my life. Today's gospel at its heart reminds us that the natural instinct of Jesus, just who he is, not a decision to have a great sign enacted with power of God, but who he is to naturally reach out and touch someone laying there in trouble before him. It lifts them up, and he still reaches out and touches every one of us. We just need to take his hand, and he will raise us up. He'll meet us where we need to be. As Isaiah the prophet wrote in the reading today, that wonderful ending of it, they will excel. Some will excel. They'll be borne up as on eagle's wings. Some will run and not go weary. And some will walk and not grow faint. Not everybody is fixed the same way. But he's with us where he thinks we need to be. In the name of God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen.